There's a very beautiful passage in what's probably Rilke's most famous book of prose, which is called Letters to a Young Poet, and I included this passage in my own book on Rilke. I spent many years in the company of Rilke, which is why the book is called In the Company of Rilke. I was changed by this relationship, as we are changed by all of our relationships. And this is a very essential point of awareness. Because it's not just that we are changed by all of our relationships, but how are we being changed? Actually, the terribly frank and naked question is, are we being changed for the better? And is the other being changed for the better in our presence? Whoa. Yeah? So we've still not gone very far away from forgiveness. Is the other being changed for the better in our presence? At the beginning of Seeking the Sacred, I'm coming back to Rilke, please be assured. At the beginning of Seeking the Sacred, I tell a story which I loved to tell in that book, and I love to tell it in this present moment where we've never been before, which is very simply that when I was a young mother but not young, and the children were very, I had to make arrangements if I needed to go to the toilet. On my own. That was a rare privilege. Anyway, it was the busy time. It was the busy time. And, it was the very busy time. All of you will be nodding. And somebody telephoned me, and I'm not even going to ask you to forgive me if you've heard this story at every retreat you've been at, because it's worth telling.
Stephanie, you need to turn it on.
Oh, thank you. It's on.
Okay.
You're not getting. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Can you hear me, Joe, right at the back? Thank you, Hilary. But we're not getting, it's true. I'll turn it off, and I'll turn it on again, which is what we have to do all of the time, one way and another. Okay, thank you. I don't think it unplugs right there. I'll tell you the story anyway, and if you're struggling to hear, please come further forward. Somebody rang me and said, the oracle of the Dalai Lama is in town, meaning Sydney. And at that time, the Dalai Lama himself was not so well known. I was not an advanced Tibetan practitioner. I was not an advanced practitioner. And I didn't know what role the oracle took in His Holiness's life. So there was everything that I didn't know. But what I did know and what I trusted was this absolute impulse in me, which perhaps was similar to the impulse that brought you to this retreat, that you didn't really have to know much more than you had an impulse to be here. Yeah? So it was with me that evening. And I don't know what arrangements I made. I can't remember at all, but I made arrangements. And I found myself there in quite a humble room. And I tell this story in Seeking the Sacred because we are always seeking. We are seeking and we are yearning. And we are present. So I found myself in this fairly modest room that had been very sort of cleaned up, made very spick and span, but was very modest. And it was just a small group of people. Oh, happy days. But isn't that a kind of greediness?
Mm.
That we want it for ourselves, but that we don't want it for those 2,000 other people who've got in the way of our Kalachakra initiation?
Mm.
But it's theirs! Isn't that so instructive about our specialness? We want it to be special for me, just a few others. So anyway, there was a small group, and the oracle spoke, and the Tibetan translator translated. And the Tibetan translator's English was limited. And my Tibetan was forgotten in the previous life. And it was the most exhilarating talk that I think I've ever heard. Where did it come from? Where did it go to? It came from his gift of presence. It came from his gift of presence and went straight, not to my over-busy, analytical, moderately well-trained mind. It went to my heart. The words are vehicles. Every word I'm giving you is a vehicle for awareness. Every word that I put on a page is a vehicle for awareness. Every guided meditation I give you is a vehicle for awareness, as best I can. And where you receive it and how you receive it and what your relationship is to it is your business. It's your business. And I don't mean that at all in a separating way. I mean it in an honoring way. It's in an honoring way. So maybe that's an answer to that second question about really, it was really about, do you love my writing as well as me? That the woman asked in my writing class. If anybody's listening to this talk at a later date, I'm not meaning myself. And of course, I'm meaning myself. Here is Rilke, who was himself quite a young poet at the time, but well known. And he wrote these letters to a younger still poet who'd been at the same ghastly boarding school that he had been at. He's writing from a place called Worpswedel, which is in Bremen. And the countryside there is very flat and empty. There are quite a lot of painters who lived there for a long time, including a beautiful painter called Paula Modis Paula, Paula Modersohn Becker. And it was through Paula Modersohn Becker, when I was at the Women's Press, we published the first ever monograph on her at the Women's Press and then sold it to lots of countries, including Germany. And it was through Paula Modersohn Becker that I met Rilke all those years ago. So here we are. Here we are in Worpswedel. Here, where an immense country lies about me, over which the winds pass, coming from the seas. Here, I feel that no human being anywhere can answer for you those questions and feelings that deep within them have a life of their own. For even the best in words, when they are meant to mean most delicate and almost inexpressible things, I want to beg you, as much as I can, to be patient towards all that is unresolved in your heart. Try to live the questions themselves like locked rooms or books that are written in a foreign language. I would add that you have yet to learn, that you are learning, not so foreign. Do not now seek the answers. They cannot be given to you now because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything Live the questions now. You will then gradually, without even noticing it perhaps, live along some day into the answer. So often, an answer, in inverted commas, is simply the means to assuage our own anxiety. It's not an answer. It's a pill. It's an imperfect and temporary remedy. It's a plaster that is likely to fall off. If the wound of the question is deep enough, the plaster won't hold it, and that's good, because the question has a vitality, a life, an askingness of its own. I'm feeling in my body that I have brought you a lot already today. Because some of you are here only for 3 days, I am going to continue, but I want you to receive it very gently. And I want you to receive your own questions as they arise with great gentleness as well as curiosity. I want you to reawaken your awareness. I want you to remember your awareness of your curiosity and how much pleasure that once brought you. I want you also to be aware in a very deep way of what the consequences are. Not of your questions only. A good question, a deep question, a meaningful question is sort of like being at a crossroads. It takes you in that direction rather than this one. A meaningful question. Not, you know, should I have the peas or the beans? But should I, you know, what is actually dictating who I am becoming? What is dictating? What is shaping me? What is shaping the way that I am with other people? Those are questions for the heart. And in order to hear something that we will not call an answer, in order to hear an inspiration, a guidance, in order to feel sunlight on your skin, you need some patience, some stillness, and some wu-wei. Wu-wei. Some spaciousness, which allows less reaction or dependency than you might have accustomed yourself to. Does that make sense? Oh, it's very hard to learn. Look, making sense isn't even probably an intellectual thing. Let it make sense through an experience or two, or three, or four, or two, or three, or 4,000. In other words, let me make it really simple. When you just have a little inkling this is a question that matters to you, when it's a kind of crossroady question that matters to you, that will lean you in one direction more than in another, that will require of you a newness and a freshness that is new to this day, to this depth of consciousness, and to this depth of generosity to yourself and the other, listen to your heart. Be aware of what your soul has to say about this. What courage has to say about it? What fidelity has to say about it? What generosity has to say about it? And also what forgiveness has to say about it.